Start recording.
Okay, here we go. It's called the order to the Planning Commission meeting on October 20th, 2020 at 6:34 at night. Let's all hit the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So the only one absent tonight is Eric Johnson, Pat Huggins, Salas Maddox, Daniel Freiberger, Joe Frenette, and Stacey Penno are all here. So have people had the opportunity to read the meeting minutes from September 15th? Hey, Bill, my camera is not going on. Any particular reason for that? Can people hear me?
We can see you fine. Okay. What kind of device are you using?
I'm using the iPad that the city provided.
Is your camera on?
I assume it is, yeah.
The little icon with the camera, it doesn't have a cross.
Okay, up on top.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, sorry about that. So have people had the opportunity to review the meeting minutes from September 15th?
I did, but I wasn't there.
Okay. Danielle, you're usually pretty good on these, spotting a lot of typos. Anything?
I did have one comment. Joe Fatizzi is listed twice under the roll call, so pretty minor, but.
I am. So we'll amend that. Does anybody want to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes with that amendment to the doubling of my name?
I was there, but I didn't read them.
Approved.
Sorry.
So Commissioner Maddox has made a motion to approve the meeting minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded from Commissioner Freiberger. And the meeting minutes are approved with that one modification to my doubling name. So I'm going to open the portion for the general public comments. And I believe that we just read in anyone's emails if they have sent anything. So we open up the general portion at 6:37. Catherine, do we have anyone that wrote anything in?
Nope. Not this time.
Okay. So there are no general comments. So we'll go ahead and close the general comments section at 6:37 p.m. So the next section is our unfinished business to Title 17 of the Cedar-Willie Municipal Code to address parking requirements within the Central Business District. John, would you like to take it off?
I'm going to let Catherine do it. She put this memo together.
That's fine.
Yeah. So we've been talking about this for a couple months now. And so I'm hoping it's more clear now, and you know, it's pretty distinctive, the differences between the tables, how one is inside the blue boundary and one is outside. And then we've included the description of the boundary in the CBD chapter as well, in addition to the 1736, which is the parking chapter. So I guess if anyone has any questions or needs some clarifications, happy to take some feedback if it's not very clear.
I just have a question. In the attachment one for tier two and tier three, on the right side, they're identical. And I think I understand why. Because if I look at tier 1, 2, and 3, it's the exact same language, correct?
Are you on
page 4? Would it be attachment 1, page 4? Yes.
Okay.
So there's two different tables. One is for areas within the, you know, the core downtown. That's the area within the blue line. Okay. And the other table is for outside of the blue line, but within the central business district still.
So which part were you saying has the same language?
On tier 1, 2, and 3 on the right-hand side, it's all identical to the one on top of it, right? Residential units associated with commercial use, no off-street parking required. Commercial use is standard off-street parking per chapter 1736. Public uses, no off-street parking required. So it's the same for tier 1, 2, and 3.
So commercial uses for tier 1 says standard off-street parking. Commercial uses for tier 2, standard. Yeah, you're right. So it's the residential units that are changing.
Okay.
Because this is it outside of the blue boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So for residential units associated with commercial use outside the blue boundary, where we're not having kind of that reduced parking requirement, then no off-street parking is required for tier 1. Tier 2, with residential uses associated with the commercial use, they have reduced off-street parking. And same for tier 3, they still have reduced off-street parking. So it's a little bit redundant, but it's
mm-hmm.
kind of more or less the code we have now, except for it's reduced for tier 2 and 3 for residential parking. Or requirements for residential in association with the commercial use. So the real differences are in table 2, which is inside the blue boundaries, kind of. We wanted to make that distinction. Felt it was a little bit more clear, but it's still, yeah, I see how that would be kind of confusing.
Yeah, so table 1 wouldn't actually be necessary.
Right.
We would just need the table 2. I don't recall it shaking out like this, so I think we need to look at this again.
Yeah, I think you were right.
Hey, there's language in here on the intent talking about revenue generation for what we have right now. I totally get it. As far as, you know, we have city owned land and we're trying to split it up. John, do you have any idea of, are we talking parking meters or kind of like, what are your ideas on how that's going to work? People get a little bit bent out the shape sometimes when they see, you know, that something needs to cost something in order to provide it. So what are your ideas on that?
Sorry, I'm looking at previous renditions of this table to see if there's any changes. So I didn't quite catch the nuances of what you were just requesting.
Well, on 1724.05, on the intent on A, to encourage downtown parking district administered by the city, would be authorized to collect in-lieu parking fees from new residential uses downtown and use that revenue. I get all that. So what are your ideas on how we build that back? I mean, is it a one-time only fee? Is it like an annualized kind of thing? We talking parking meters? I mean, there's all different ways you can slice and dice that.
So that's talking about creating a parking district.
Right.
And so that's something that the, you know, we would have to create and have a governing body of some sort and have some oversight over it and keep a fund for monies collected to be used for parking, you know, and typically those things have shelf life, so you have to use the money within a certain amount of time.
Uh-huh.
The so those get, those downtown parking districts get tricky, and that's why the one's never been put together. And honestly, there's not any code that talks about how it would be enabled and what, how that would work. So that's a different topic than the downtown parking.
So now we're just looking at basically structure of what we'd like to see in the future, right? Because you do have a decent amount of city-owned parking that is off of Metcalf and in different spots on Metcalf by the Mexican restaurant. So there's definitely places to allow for the expansion, depending on what kind of development, hopefully, that we see, you know, in the next 5 years or whatever. I don't know if anybody's proposed anything recently, but I guess we're just trying to front run it ahead of time to make sure something's in place before a project does come in and people are clear on the fee structure and everything else that goes into it.
So I'm looking at the previous. Okay, so actually table one is not the same on everyone. So if you look at tier one, it's residential uses associated with commercial retail use. And then there's no off-street parking required. If you go down to tier two, residential uses associated with commercial retail use, there is a reduced off-street parking allowed. And then go down to tier three, it's also reduced off-street parking. Okay. So there is a difference. So the smaller buildings do not need to provide off-street parking for residential units associated with commercial and retail use. And that the idea there is with these small lots, we've discussed this a fair amount in previous planning commission meetings, with these small lots, it's very difficult to provide any parking. If you just have that is 8,000 square foot lot. And if you're providing any parking on there, you're taking up, you know, a third of the parking, a third of the lot area. So it really is difficult. That's why we came up with a three-tiered system. For larger projects, you know, the planning commission's determined that there is a significant impact when to the local parking if there's a development that's building a lot of units. So we wanted to have the medium-sized buildings have some parking and then the larger ones have some parking and exempt the smaller projects.
So it looks like tier two and three are pretty much the same. I think that's kind of
what we're talking about. That was my comment, yeah.
Yeah. So tier one is different for table one, but tier two and three are the same. So it is possible we could just take table one out and insert that language elsewhere and just have table three. So it's very clear, like within mm-hmm. your blue boundary, these apply. So.
Yeah, I think that's what we were talking about at a previous planning commission meeting is do we get rid of tier two and three since they're basically shaking out to be the mm-hmm. same requirements. Just combine tier two and three is what I mean.
It simplifies things because they are pretty close as far as how they're structured. So,
I guess
I was just going to say, anybody else have any comments on it?
Yeah. So I guess unless the parking was a different percentage of reduction for the two of them, that would be. But I don't see that between tier two and three. Seems to be the same. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it might be you know, we could just, instead of having a tier, even just a threshold, it looks like, or just two tiers.
And then I did have a comment on 1736-20B, which is referencing, of course, the area in the blue. And I was just a little bit confused that language added in the first sentence there, new retail businesses, restaurants, and the first 4,000 square feet of all other commercial uses located in an existing building. If I was looking at the table correctly, and maybe I was making an assumption here, but to me, it was looking like the 4,000 square feet, it was still limited to the particular things in each tier and not all other commercial, because that had to still abide by just this normal parking standards. So am I misunderstanding this, or how are you reading this?
The way it's supposed, the way these two sections interact is towards the end of the memo, there's the 1736-020 location restrictions, and number B is what we're speaking of. That so new businesses and the first 4,000 square feet of all other commercial uses located in an existing building within the area bounded. So what we're trying to do is we're keeping this section in place because we're trying to allow for buildings that existing buildings to not have to provide parking, at least under these parameters, under 4,000 square feet of new commercial use and then the previous sections, you know, the tables that we've been discussing so far tonight under 1724 parking, that's in the central business district code. This is for new construction. So that's the different, that's the difference between 1724 and 1736 is one's for existing and one's for new. 1736 used to just say no, you know, new is it applied to both existing and new. So we're making it now that 1736 only applies to existing. New has to provide parking per 1724, which is the big tables.
Also, for the first 4,000 square feet of all other commercial uses, before it was only retail businesses and restaurants that were exempt, and now it's the first 4,000 square feet. So basically just tier one, and that's kind of all inclusive.
Thank you, I missed that.
Well, it's definitely complicated.
It is.
That's why we did the tables, tried to break the tables out to be very clear, because when we were doing it in a narrative form, it got very awkward, long sentences, prone to misinterpretation. So that's why we went with the tables, and the tables may be barely any difference, but you can see there are small nuances that, you know, to the different small differences in there. So we're trying to reflect those clearly by using tables.
As a graphical person, I always appreciate tables. Thank you.
So we could keep the tables and just shrink them down to two tiers.
I think that's been the general consensus here, and that's pretty much what we got out of it.
Okay. And then kind of go through again with a fine tooth comb and make sure it's very clear, especially in 17.36020B, what that means.
I think it simplifies it and it applies to everyone. So you're not, you know, singling out certain businesses from, you know, being required or not, depending on what they're going to be operating. So I think it reads fine for me. Somebody get disconnected?
It looked like someone was screen sharing for a second there.
I'm trying to share the screen, but it's not allowing me to show just my screen. It's doing a screen broadcast, and it's only showing the Zoom.
Hey, Silas, what are your thoughts on it? You're usually pretty contemplative of thinking about the different business options in the city.
You know, I got confused here because I read through it and I didn't pick it apart with a fine tooth comb, but I thought that it seemed generally on the right track when I read through it earlier. And so I have been slightly following this discussion, but I think that, I think we're on the right track and just continuing to tidy it up a little bit makes me happy, so. I'm all good.
Can everybody see the screen that I'm sharing? It should be page 5.
I can.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So one of the things that, you know, the details that we would like to delve into is the number of spaces, provided, do they seem accurate? Did the Planning Commission feel like they've got enough analysis from staff showing how many parking spaces would be required per these new codes? Is there any further information that you need from us to help you make your decision?
John, I've understood Catherine, I've understood the concept since the beginning. I'm not good at the technical code. It's why I didn't license as an architect. I just drew things for people because I don't like code talk. But if you are trying to get done what we have discussed as doing, and I think you are, then I trust you guys to get it done. And you guys will be the first to know if it's not working and bring us back the information. So I think, for my part, when you guys are satisfied that it achieves what we all agreed was that we were trying to do, I'll be happy.
I think the table that shows the reduced parking, you know, when you compare it with just the standard parking, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I don't know that it's really necessary to go into the logic of that, other than that it's obviously reduced, and so seems clear enough.
So outside of combining the two tiers into just a one and a two, does anybody else have any other specific comments? Because I think we're really close, especially if we're going to combine it and simplify it a little bit more. So I guess the question is there anything else that we want John and Catherine to work on prior to the next meeting? Because I kind of believe we're kind of close right now.
I'm good. I think that we can...
I'm not sure what the process is, if we need to have a public hearing on this or whatever, but it seems super close to me.
Process-wise, yeah, we'll probably have one final public hearing. I'll try to get the word out for some local developers to review it. I have passed it on to one local developer. I think they've been too busy to really take a look at it. But anybody who wants to develop downtown is going to have extreme interest in this because it's changing the scenario of being no parking requirement downtown to requiring something. And the only concern I have about this is the reduced parking table on page 5 under number 3. Is that reduced enough, or is it still going to require too much parking? And really the only people that are going to be able to answer that question are the people that design a project. So it would behoove us to get some feedback from anybody that might be developing in downtown. So yes, a public hearing next time is the answer.
Yes. Okay, so outside of combining tiers 1 and 2, is there anything else before we move on to the next item, CPA 3.20? And Catherine, John, do you have any more questions for us? It seems that it's good. That's how to just bring it down to 2 tiers instead of 3.
I think that's good feedback. I think we'll be ready next time with those 2-tiered tables and go from there.
Okay, so next month we're planning on a public hearing to finalize it or get additional comment on it. So if it's okay, we'll move on to the rezone CPA-3-20. The city-owned property at 205 North Reed Street. Proposal to change zoning designation of roughly 2.67 acres of land from residential 7 to public. And John, you're on this memo here, so take it away.
Yeah, this one's pretty darn easy. Again, any questions? this was
a piece of property. I like category 4 wetlands myself, but...
The city purchased this property. It was owned by a developer, and he had a preliminary plat approved for it. But then the market collapsed in 2008, and then he ended up losing the property, and the city was able to pick it up for a very, very low price, and. It was thought, when we purchased it, it could, there was some stormwater issues in the area. So it definitely could, it was the first and foremost was to take care of the regional stormwater issues, not really more local, not too regional, just some of the properties to the east of there were having problems. And there is a drainage ditch across the north property line on this property. And so we were able to take care of that. And then the property was held onto as a potential park or potentially as a park or potentially sell to make some money off of it after we had taken care of the stormwater problems. And those ideas have kicked around by council and previous administration, and there was never really any conclusive results. Other developers have asked to purchase the property, and the council has said that they didn't want to sell it, or they wanted to retain most of it for parks. So ultimately, they had a big discussion about it a couple of months ago, and. What's really happened, the council is feeling stronger about providing parks now. And so this property they identified as a good potential park. And so as they were looking at the possibility of developing it, it came to light that it's actually zoned residential 7. So developing it as a park would be some extra hoops. But since we own it and the intent, if the intent really is for it to be a park, then they wanted to rezone it. So hence the process that we're in right now to examine whether or not it should become zoned as public. The property is identified in the comprehensive plan as a potential park location. So the comp plan already supports this property as being parkland. So we're gonna hold a public process to get to let the neighbors know and get other public comments about the potential of this becoming a park. We did not have the opportunity. The council directed the staff to look into this just last month, so we didn't have the time to get out proper notices to the neighbors. We were going to have a public hearing on it this month, but there wasn't time to get proper notices out to neighbors and get people the opportunity to talk about this meaningfully. So we're going to have a public hearing in November and discuss this issue further. Today was sort of an introduction to it. You can see there's just a staff memo, not a full staff report. But you know, it's a fairly simple issue, and it's already supported by the comp plan. So it seems like a strong possibility that this could become parkland. Is there any planning commission discussion today, knowing that we're gonna talk about this further at the next planning commission meeting?
You know, pulling an aerial, there's a decent amount of density already in place. Just looking at the aerial, there's still a lot of vacant land on top of it. Now, our R7 zone is a pretty dense zone to begin with. We're looking at 7 units per acre, and depending on the size, I don't see anything over 3 acres here. But I can't see people in the neighborhood, you know, coming out against a proposal like that, especially when more housing, you know, heads on in there.
You know, as you bring up an interesting topic. Right now I'm zooming in, and let me know if you can see this. Sorry, it's sideways. I don't know how to turn the screen sideways, but you can see where the park is located. The pink swath just south of there is Highway 20 heading east-west through town. And you can see that there's no green nearby. There's no parks in that area. Although, you know, to the, you know, down the page, which is actually west, there's a big splotch of green. But that's on the other side of Highway 9. That's the Evergreen Elementary and Cascade Middle School property. So that's not even parkland. North of there, at the city limits, there's a big green splotch that is owned by the city, but it's not a park. That is the it's the former city dump, so it's not usable land. The nearest park would, of course, be just west and south of there a little bit, which is City Hall, and the park land just north of there. So there's really not any usable parkland in that part of the city, which is one reason, one strong reason why this property's been identified and hoped to be used as a park.
I just wanted to plant the seed that I agree that I thought this had been bought specifically for parkland, because the two areas of town that that didn't have a park was the area out near Winnie Hauser Park, and that solved that problem when she donated that land, or her estate donated the land. And the other place is this area that we're talking about now, which didn't have any. And so I just assumed that it had been bought as park. But I wanted to plant the seed that over the years, I've seen some really, really nicely done parks where they're in tight residential housing, where they have been laid out so that they are used as retention or detent. I can't remember if it's retention or detention, but it's the ones where if you have a you know, a high rain situation and a lot of water, they flood. But then they're designed so that the water, as it recedes, runs off quickly and dries out. So the way it works in the communities I've seen is on the rainy days where it's really bad and the property is underwater, the kids aren't going to be out anyway because it's just too dang sloppy. They don't need fences because the slopes aren't too steep. And then by the time the water recedes, the center of the park is dried out and ready to go. So anyway, I just wanted to plant that seed that it can do two jobs at once. It can take overflow if we have really bad flooding events, and it could be a park at the same time. And I think the city should consider putting those two uses together on that property.
Yeah, and you can see that this property has a category 4 wetland, so we would be leaving that intact and possibly doing some upgrades to it, you know, depending on what the park design is. And in fact, there have been designs for parks at this property in the past as well, but there hasn't been funding for it, and it's not zoned for park yet, so nothing's happened. So there's no specific plans for how this park would be developed. It's just a question of, should it be a park? And that's what we'll be addressing at the next Planning Commission meeting, public hearing.
Hey, John, that little residence that's there, is that part of this parcel?
No, you can see out there. You can see how the red line jogs around it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It used to be part of this property that was segregated off so that the property owner could do the long plat. And that house would have more or less fit into the overall development. But that never happened. And that preliminary plat has expired. It can never go on. It can never happen the way it was designed. Now it would have to be completely redone. But of course, if it becomes parkland, then you know no subdivision would happen on this property.
It looks like I haven't pulled it up on a different platform, but it looks fairly like a one bedroom.
In fact, that house burned down and has been demolished.
Oh, so it's no longer there.
It's no longer there, but we do not own it. And it's 6,000. It's 6,000 square feet. That adjacent property.
Well, I personally am all for it. I don't think there's any. I don't think that we should be having too much discussion, or too much discussion is necessary. Sounds like a great plan, and yeah. Let's go for it.
Anyone else? I totally agree. And Pat, I was just, before you made your comment, I was just ready to ask you, do you have something to say? Because you're one of the biggest fans of parks, just like myself and a whole bunch of other people. So it's kind of, it's a good idea. Especially with the density that's in there right now.
I think it's a great idea. I have no issue with it and would proceed forward quickly.
So John, at this particular point, we don't really need to do anything outside of listening, and I think you're planning on a public hearing on November 17th as well. So that would be the second public hearing we would have on the two separate issues. Is that correct?
Well, we're not having a public hearing on it today, so it would be just the one public hearing at the November Planning Commission meeting.
So I'm looking at your memo. It has public hearing for November 17th, and I thought we were going to do a public hearing on the Central Business District parking as well.
I thought you were saying, and, I thought you were talking about two public hearings for the rezone.
No. One for each.
So at the November 17th meeting, there will be two
public separate hearings, two separate issues.
One for the rezone, one for the parking. Correct.
So at this particular point, does anybody have anything good for the order here? And if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'm good. I don't have anything today unless you want to hear about schools. That's where I've been. I had my head buried for the last month. So,
anyone else? So who would like to make the motion to adjourn?
Commissioner Huggins, I'll make a motion that we adjourn for the evening.
Okay. Commissioner Huggins has made a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a second from Commissioner Maddox. So the meeting is now adjourned at 7:14 on 10/20/2020. Thank you, everyone, for your input and your time. John, Catherine, great job. And we'll see you next month.
All right. Good to see you guys all.